Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C. Oji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Sit up in heavenly places. You are here.
Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here.
You are here.
You are here.
Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here. You are here. You are here. Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here.
Semene varian de rosa, barrapada la voz.
Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here.
You are
here.
Thank you,
Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here.
I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We started this discussion, and hopefully today we're supposed to see how we can wrap up this series. I want you to prepare your heart, because I'm sure that by the time we're done, we find a few minutes to pray. The Holy Spirit would have set our hearts on fire, put us in that place, that position where he can confidently say concerning us that these vessels are ready. Like Isaac asked his father, he said, "Father, here's the wood. Where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" I'm sure that when we're done, someone will say, "Lord, I offer myself for the baptism of fire." Now listen, the baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of praying in tongues is a free gift that the Holy Spirit gives to all of us when we get born again. The baptism of fire is also free, but it comes at a price. In other words, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of praying in tongues, you just need to believe. When I tell you, the baptism of fire is not just a faith thing. It has to do with yielding. Are we here together? Because fire will not fall until the altar is set. And I tried as much as possible to distinguish between the fire baptism and the Holy Ghost baptism. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the evidence is that you begin to speak with other tongues. When you get baptized with fire, I'll show you four signs that prove that somebody has connected or has contacted fire. Because it is possible to be baptized. There are different baptisms. The Bible records different baptisms. There's the water baptism that is a sign, a symbol to the world that my old man is crucified with Christ and I am alive here to live in newness of life. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in tongues, that is the initial baptism. Now, some people call it the first work of grace. If you've read through God's generals and you see some of the teachers like William J. Seymour and the rest of them, they will teach about the first work of grace. And why I really don't say the first work is because it can be a simultaneous thing. But most of the times, many people don't have that simultaneous encounter. Many people don't. Because some people come with that heart and they have yielded and they are willing. Whereas some people come, you know, with faith and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and receive the baptism of the Spirit, but they have not given all. Baptism of fire will require that you will give yourself. It requires that you would let go of certain things. Because when fire comes, it is to consume. When fire comes, it is to lick up certain things. And if you are not willing to let go, because the Holy Spirit doesn't force people, He will not force you. Whatever you don't put inside of the fire will not get burnt. You have to put it in. Are we here together? You have to put it in. If you don't put it in the fire, it will not get burnt. You have to submit. You have to yield. So John, speaking in John chapter, Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, he said, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance. So he shows us the three baptism here. And he says, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And there's a conjunction. It didn't say the Holy Spirit or. It didn't say I will baptize you with Holy Spirit fire. Do you get that? Are you getting what I'm saying here now? He said, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And you know, whenever you say and, you're trying to join two things. Are we here together? So there are two separate things coming together. That's supposed to be a conjunction. Is that? And. So that tells us that the baptism of fire is distinct, is different from baptism with the Holy Spirit. So many people have become baptized in the Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues. But one day they come to that place where they have to let go of certain things. Many of us would remember the experience of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha had to consistently, you understand, let the sons of the prophet know that he had come a long way with the prophet. So he starts the journey by saying, okay, let's take a step. Then he take the first step. Then he got to another point and they asked him, they said, Are you aware that God is going to take your master away from you today? Are you sure that you are not confused? Are you sure that you are not carried away? Are you sure you are not being overzealous? Because if this man lives here and he crosses the Jordan River, how would you come back? As soon as he crossed the Jordan River, he had yielded. The other part, the first experience, you know, Gilgal, down to, you know, different points in life where he had to come to place where he met them and they asked him and he said, I am aware. And at that time he said, hold your peace. In other words, leave me alone. It's none of your business. Like, people will start asking you questions. You are taking this thing too much. Hold your peace. You are carrying this God on your head. So hold your peace. Why is it that you are so serious with this thing? Are you aware that there's a level you serve God up to? It's like you're going to look so foolish. He said, hold your peace. So he told them the first time, hold your peace, hold your peace, hold your peace, until he got to that point where he needed to part Jordan. Then you see Elijah use his mantle, part the river Jordan, and guy, would you follow now? In other words, there's a point of no return that in your Christian faith that you need to come to. A point where you say, I have entered. If there's nothing, if this is where I will die, I die. I told us the story of the man who sang the song, I've decided to follow Jesus. He got to the point of no return. We're looking at his wife with somebody about to kill his wife. They were about to kill, and he said, yes, if you kill this woman, it doesn't change the fact that I will not turn my back. And by the time you are done killing, I know that I have nothing else to gain, because you just kill the two, you kill this one, then you take myself. It showed that, it shows the people, you know, the level of sacrifice and commitment. People, you see, when you say you're a Christian, people will need, you need to come to that point where people see the sacrifice. Can I ask a question? What is your Christianity costing you? A few things I'm going to do at Oxano. I'm going to use the morning sessions. Yeah, morning sessions here and there. We're going to do some kind of deep reviews. Whenever I want to take people into a deep dive, you know, there's a deep dive. There's the normal float, you know, there's a deep dive where you're, that meeting, we're not looking at how come maybe somebody just got born again today. Somebody can be born again today and take a deep dive. And after that encounter, everybody begins to wonder, what happened to you? I encountered something big. I encountered something that drowned me. And I'm sure that before the year runs out, somebody will be totally immersed in this calling. You'll be totally immersed in your faith, where people will look at you and your life will be an epitome, a perfect example of one that people would desire to follow in the name of Jesus. So they kept asking him, are you aware that God will take your master? Until they got to the Jordan River, and he parted the Jordan River, and he crossed and he followed him. And this, even the man who was following him would have looked at him and said, guy, do you know exactly what you're doing? What if at the end of the day, you don't even see me when I'm being caught up? And the mantle doesn't fall. It's a risk. A serious, serious risk that he was taking, but he would give his life because he had actually lost his life. Those who give their life in this kingdom, they gave it because they actually have lost it. The Bible says, if any man will follow me, deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And he said, every person that will follow me will first lose their life. You will lose your life. If you want to get the fire baptism, you will lose your life. That is the criteria for encountering fire. The animal on the altar must be on the altar. It must be willing to die. Like, they would have tried the legs and the arm, and the next thing is just for the knife. You will lose your life. You'll be willing to say, Lord, I am here. Isaac, right there at the altar where Abraham put Isaac, he was not saying, Father, are you sure you want to kill me? He stayed there. In other words, Isaac must have said to himself, whatever it is this man is going to do, I trust you. Many of us don't trust God with our future. You don't trust that if you serve God completely, you're still asking, if I really decide to serve this God completely, will I end up broke? If I really decide to serve God, what if this, what if that? All your ifs, they are the reasons why you have not come in contact with fire. Paul said, I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ that lives inside of me. The life that I live right now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Many of us still have many things. Like I usually will tell you, many people still have a lot of things that they are still considering. There are some things in the world they are still holding on to. And Jesus said, if any man will follow me, if you must follow me, you must understand the place of, you know, not turning back. Because whoever puts his hand on the plow and turns back, say, this person is not worthy. That's the reason many have not come in contact with fire. They have come into the faith, but they cannot go far with him. They can't go far with him. They can't go far with him. Not everybody will go far with Jesus. The level of your commitment and soul yieldedness will determine how far you will go. Your soul has to be yielded. As the deep panted for the waters of my soul, longing after and you are my heart desiring alone to worship you as the deep pants and as the deep panted one, what a soul my soul longed after. Say you. Satisfy. Only you can satisfy my soul. Check that confession and be sure that it's real. make sure that you are singing that song with a heart that is genuine and sincere. If everybody in this service sings that song with that heart, I know what can happen here. Shemeneka swatabai and the rababaika sweneke telebo rushka semenika susu sweneke telebo shoya. Marriage cannot satisfy me. Children cannot satisfy me. A career cannot satisfy me. My business cannot satisfy me. Nothing can satisfy me, Jesus. Only you can satisfy me. Zemene koshai barabada namanaka baruata. Listen, you need to come to that place where your only desire, your highest longing is Him. He has to be the one. If He is not the one, you have missed everything. He has to be your longing. He has to be your desire. He has to be your the very life that you live. He has to be everything. For fire to really fall, it must be clear that the lamb for the sacrifice has been dropped on the altar. Nobody ignites a fire on the altar where there's no sacrifice. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? So many people have so many other things. There are many other things. Some people, their satisfaction in life is to get married. Some people, their satisfaction in life is their children, to have children. And that's why somebody can, you know, because of the satisfaction you derive from a particular thing, you don't mind allowing that thing to fill your heart so much. So much that the things of God will not count. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? I kept on asking. I still asked. I sat down and I was still asking today. I was like, God, why will these people just give themselves like goats to be slaughtered just because they claim that they believe in you? And God said to me, just like I said here, very clear, that they died already. They died already. Except a grain of wheat falls down to the ground and die, he abides alone. Except a grain of wheat falls down to the ground and die, you will not see life if the wheat, the grain of wheat or the corn head or the beans does not fall. If it does not die, it will not live. For you to live, you must die. For you to live for Jesus, you must die. For you to live for Jesus, you must die. For you to live for Jesus, you must die. I want it to sink. For you to live for Jesus, you must die. You must die to the flesh. You must die to the cravings. You must die to the things that have become so important to people that they no longer see the old rugged cross. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I cherish the old rugged cross. Trophies, all of my achievements, all of my trophies, everything.
I will
cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Last week I told us the first thing is that the fire will do is that there's a refining and purification that the fire needs to do on your character and your person. Number two sign of the baptism of fire today is the fire will set you apart for God's purpose. That's the assignment of the fire. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 21, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, this cleansing is not ordinary. There are two things that the Bible uses to typify the cleansing of the believer. Two things that it qualifies to do the cleansing. Number one is purging with hyssop. And number two, the refiner's fire. Hyssop and the refiner's fire. And in Malachi chapter 3, we see it there. It said that he will sit and he will purge like the refiner who sits down to purge, either with hyssop or with what? The refiner's fire. And I told you that there's a baptism. Jesus said Jesus said, when the mother of the two guys asked him, that Jesus, would you allow one to sit at your left and the other right? He said, there is a baptism that I am going to be baptized with. There is a baptism that I will be baptized with. I won't be the one to tell if your two sons will be willing. But if they are willing, fine. And after they have done that, even the position is not in my hand, it's in the Father's hand. Speaking as one that has come in the flesh, Jesus is telling them here that they will have to go through a baptism. And child of God, those guys went through their baptism. James was smashed with a club on the head. He died. And you and I know his brother went through his own baptism. These guys had given their lives already. They had given themselves. And truth be told, Jesus already said that these guys will sit with me on the throne judging. And now you can confidently see that their position is assured. Because they went through. Except the son of perdition who lost his position. He had interest in some other things. Judas had interest in some other things. He could not go through the baptism. He could not go through the process. And that was the exact reason why Judas lost his place. And somebody can be saved and born again and accept Jesus into your heart as the Lord and Savior and still lose your place in the glorious inheritance. Just because you entered into heaven is not enough. There's the quality of life that God desires for us to live. That's why our calling is not just to the place of I have entered. No, not just I have entered. Every man will be rewarded according to how his work will be. So don't settle for less. Don't settle for less, because the Bible shows us, even Jesus said all those things. He showed us the apostles. You cannot stand. Can you imagine standing with Paul, standing with James, standing with John? And the excuse that somebody is giving is that, hey, you see, the problem I really have is that my children made me too busy. My children. I was so busy. You stand with Paul and they say, why were you not able to serve God? You see, it was too much of relationship problem or relationship. And Paul will say, me. That I didn't even consider whether I needed to have a partner. And he will even point to those who had partners and say, how many times did you see Philip in his house? They are doing relationship and marriage. That's why you left everything. Does it mean that we should leave our relationships? And no, but it's saying that your priority has to be God. And if he calls, you should answer. So that even your husband, your wife, or the person you get married to, they know that one person that they cannot debate or argue his calling upon your life is the calling of God. Your boss can call and you say, I'm sorry. Look at people, how scared they are when their boss call at night just because of the job, the money. But this is God, the one who is able to, you know, Bibles, Jesus was speaking and he said, do not fear men. He said, fear God who is able to destroy the body and the soul ends in hell. That's the person you should honor. Jesus said it by himself. And so many people have many other things. You need to see how people heap up and pile up and prepare and hold on to so many things. And God is saying, look at this. What exactly are you holding on to? I remember in the early days when I just started serving God, I would want to go on serious pastor. And they would say, look at you. Oh, you will look like bone. Keep up as if I say, fine boy, to hell. Serve Jesus is more important. Who do I have time for? Who has time for me? Are we here together? Yeah. Get so crazy about the things of God, so mad that somebody will meet me in my madness for Christ, and that's where you find me. If you find me there, you can't take me out of there. But if the person didn't find you there, to convince them will be difficult. And that's why you need to catch up with God. You need to catch up with his purpose for your life now. How do people know that you're a Christian? People have to do a serious search and fact check to confirm whether you're a believer. It's a very painful experience, church. So painful. So the work of the fire is that the fire will set you apart. And he said he will be a vessel unto honor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and useful for the master's use. If anyone cleanses himself, that means if you allow yourself to go through the process of the cleansing, that's when you'll be a vessel unto honor. There are different vessels in the house. The Bible says some unto honor and some unto what? Dishonor. Then for me to become a vessel unto honor, it said the person has to do what? Cleanse himself. And the Bible speaking also says we have to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Sometimes I look at that scripture again. From the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. It says perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting means that it is a walk. It is a walk, and you're pushing and you're pressing and you're holding on. Despite the fact that Christ has cleansed us and purged us and given us the garment of righteousness, there is a call to perfect holiness. There's a call to check your heart. There's a call to examine yourself. There's a call to rise up to the occasion. There's a call to become everything that God wants you to become. If a man cleanses himself, if you decide to cleanse yourself, then you become a vessel unto honor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, and you know the things that are the latter, what are the things later? If you go back, you see the things that are the latter. By the time you go back a little more, you see the things that are the latter. It's Paul speaking to Timothy. You know, I used to think that at the time Paul was writing to Timothy, that Timothy was still 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24. No, Timothy was about 35 plus already by the time he was talking to him. I assume Timothy also married late because of his mentor. Maybe. If I don't know if he eventually married, because we didn't hear of his marriage. You understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? We didn't hear of Timothy's marriage and children and anything. Or you have read another Bible that has it. I would like to see the Bible. Yeah. And a man of about 35 years old, his mentor is saying, flee youthful lust. That's what the mentor started telling him. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of lust stands for having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And let anyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, that takes us to understanding this cleansing. Because it's cleansing from iniquity. Iniquity is in. It's inside. It's in. It's the sin of the heart. Conceived, practiced, cherished, and executed. When people have conceived, you know what it means? The psalmist said, if I cherish iniquity in my heart, that means it is not that I fell into sin. It is now a sin that I have said, it is just my way. It is something that I have said, you see, there's nothing I can do about it. And I enjoy, you see, the reason people masturbate is the pleasure they enjoy. If you are dead to the pleasure, you'll not go there again. I don't want to sound harsh, but that's the truth. If something is not pleasurable, you will not be going there. It is the pleasure that keeps people there. It is the pleasure that keeps people there. And that's why God is saying in his word here, he said, you need to understand that you need to die to that pleasure. For you to break it, you need to die and say, if I don't get this pleasure and I have to die, now I die. No more. That day it will die, you see. That it would instantly, you will not have to struggle a single day. It is the pleasure people get from pornography that keeps them going to the site. By the time you are dead, the site will not make any sense again. It will make sense. You will have the same gadgets that we have. All of us have the same gadgets. How come some people are excited about something and some of us, it makes no sense to us? It is what you are dead to. And that's why you have to come to the place where you say, I'm dead to this thing. It doesn't make any sense. There's nothing I'm benefiting from this. Nothing. Then the song will make sense when you say, only you can satisfy me. And every time you say, only you can satisfy me, and something else satisfies you, God knows that you're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. There's still deception somewhere. And that deception is high. It's self-deception. Are we here together? Are you getting what I'm saying here? Is it making any sense to you? Yes. So you lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Then Paul said, run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking up to Jesus, the author. I'm taking you to the higher dimension. Those who will have make a mark with God on earth. Not everybody. Not everybody. What I'm teaching is not for everybody. It's for those who want to make a mark. And God is calling every believer to make a mark. But not everybody will make a mark. You have to make up your mind. You have to make up your mind. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's what he has said. Let's stop this casual Christianity that we give to people and they just look. One day people will come to realize that what they taught them, it was chaff they gave them. May you not come to the point where you realize, what was I taught? What happened? How did we accommodate the thing so much that we resemble, we look so much like the world? There's no distinction. becomes so difficult to distinguish. A believer and unbeliever stay together and you cannot distinguish. Why? The same thing the unbeliever does and enjoys. That's what the believer does. And the believer will drag the unbeliever to church on Sunday. He's still not born again. He says he's born again and they are still the same. No, no. What connection has light and darkness? The fact is that if you are truly light, the light in you will light up the destiny of that person. If you are truly salt, you will start determining the taste of that person. Except the salt has lost its savor. The Bible says it will be good for nothing that to be trodden down under the foot of men. Good for nothing. The baptism of fire is critical. Lay aside little lies. Those little lies. Somebody walk with me, you know, and each time I have to be correct. I say, don't lie, don't say. I say, you're lying. He said, let me just. I say, no. I don't understand. Why are you saying that? You have the confidence to tell me you have a way to get it. I shouldn't worry. You maneuver him. For who? Why? If something is done behind you, it's different. If it's done in front of you, it's an insult. It's an insult. I told us some time ago that I was supposed to fail a particular exam in school and somebody did something. He said it to me. He said, I know that if I call you and I tell you that I will do this thing to help you, you will never agree. It shows... I don't need to preach to the person. He said, if I call you and I tell you that this is the situation, you will say, leave it. Now that tells you how you have lived in front of the person. No explanation. These are people that have stayed with me. They have stayed when I was on campus, they stayed in my hostel, they came to read. So behind me, the person thought that he would do something because if he tell me, forget it. I will not be interested. I will not start saying, you see, let's say, no, I will not be interested. I must have made my stand so clear. And it became so clear that he knew that if he calls this person, he will never agree. And he vowed by himself that me, I will not watch that happen. That's how your stand should be so clear, crystal clear. Light and darkness, there's distinction. If you want the fire to fall, you must start pressing into this dimension. You must come to that place where you are saying, I have nothing. I have nothing to gain. The world, all of my gain is now in Christ. Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said, the things that I cherish so much, I count all of them as what? Dung. You know what that means? They are like bullshit. Those things are like, they are bullshit. Like, I don't know, I wish I had another explanation. That's what they are. They are just dung. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, the pursuing Christ, my King, he said everything. And what Paul was counting as dung were not trash. All of his accomplishments. Philippians chapter 3, can you help me now? Philippians 3. He said, yeah, doubt. I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ, my God, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but what? Dung, that I may win Christ. Can you take Message translation or NIV? NIV or any of them. He said, yes, all the things that I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ. Compared to the high privilege. Look at how positive. High privilege of what? Of knowing Christ as my master. Firsthand, and everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog, dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ. I've dropped it all in the trash. So there are some things that the fire wants to drop in the trash. Those little lying habits. That's stealing to satisfy your needs and you justify it. You're taking what doesn't belong to you and you're justifying it. There's no justification for that. Make up your mind and be true. Be real. If any man punch himself. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Does it sound so strange? I don't think it should sound strange. This is simple. This is the word of God. Everybody sees it. Dirty talks. Your 11 p.m. charts. Check it. Every time you know it is 10:30, you're going to chat from it. Switch off your phone. If that is the way. Remember what Jesus Christ said to them. He said, if your right hand will cause you to sin, cut it off. Cut it off means disconnect from that thing. So if I have to switch off my phone, I switch it off. And I wake up in the morning, I wake up fresh. The reason some people find themselves in some mess is because of the late night hours. Can you decide to cut off the late night hours and give God early morning hours of your day? And spend that time with Him in fellowship. The reason you did not have fellowship is just because before the night crossed, something wrong has gone. And before you know it, all the prayer in the night will be, Lord, have mercy. We are talking of going high, you are still doing mercy. Is mercy wrong? No. But why should you sit and the mercy you are asking for is mercy on sin every day? When you should be talking about mercy to fulfill purpose. Mercy to step into greater dimensions with God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? I want you to come up. I don't want us to have this. It's painful. I'm serious. Because each time I think about the church that Jesus died for, and he said he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle or any other such thing, we should know that he's telling us to prepare. And everywhere he tells us everything. He says, "You guys, will I find a single faith?" That's what he's saying. Will I find people really standing strong? Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? Deception. Fire will purge your inner thoughts. That dirty thoughts that no one sees but stands as a hindrance to your next level in God. So you see some people, they are very active, full of activities in church. No, you're wondering why nothing real and substantial is coming. If he regards iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not heal. That next level will not see anything. That means the person has cherished a particular thing. Some people are nursing. You know, when you nurse a lion cub, you attitude, you are nursing certain, you know, just nursing it quietly, and they cherish it. Because it looks nice as a puppy, doesn't mean it look the same when it grows. Be careful. The same thing that you played with can bite you. Be careful. Because fire will not fall until that thing is dealt with. The other day, I was one of our page I belong to, and somebody posted a little cub, baby hyena, and he said, I bought this dog, it's not barking. Is there anything I need to do? You bought a dog that is not barking. Oh, congratulations. You didn't buy a dog that's not barking, you bought hyena. Hyena, until your eyes just becomes clear, you will know what you bought. May God help us in Jesus' name. Glory to God. The fire of the Holy Spirit consecrates and sets you apart, making you a vessel unto honor, ready for good works that God has planned for you. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works that God has already planned. But you cannot do the works until you purge yourself. That's why some people will be behind in purpose, behind in destiny, and they will meet God, and God will say, Kai, look at the kind of life you should have lived. Look at the quality of life. Look at the glorious inheritance. But see where you stopped. Hey, do you know how painful that will be? Just to realize that the plan for you was so much, but because you were holding on to a particular thing that makes no sense, you lost the fullness of all the things that God had in store for you. Nobody will lose. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, we will not lose. As this word comes, this word will set your heart on fire. This word will set your heart on fire, and the fire will burn afresh in our soul in the name of Jesus. Set my heart on fire for you, oh God, set my heart on fire for you, I want to know you. I am anakasuza brada labarusko breke seketelebo shababa. I want to know your ways. Zemeni ham deria da la bashaka pa 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 pa. Oh Jesus, help us, oh God.
I want to know your way.
Listen to me, you will never be fit for good works when the inner container is yet soiled. The baptism of fire comes when you make a commitment to God for the next level order of service. And you say, God, the dimension with which I want to serve you now is the next level. I come out of where I am. I come out of mundane Christianity. I come out of casual Christianity. I come out of ordinary Christianity. I want something distinct and special. I want something that is surpassing. I want something that is bigger. I want something that is so glorious. I want something that will cause me to hear your voice constantly. I want something that brings me to know your heart. Beat so that your desire will be my desire, your ways will be my ways, your thoughts will be my thoughts, and I can press with your strength into the fullness of your calling for my life. That is the kind of Christianity that you want to press into in this season. Fire will not fall until you have made that commitment. Baptism of fire symbolizes death to the flesh. When you say, God, no longer I, no longer I, no longer I am now a living sacrifice. Now let the fire fall. Then all of a sudden, you see God bringing you into fresh dimensions. When God, who sees the heart of man, sees your heart, he knows when the fire should fall. It doesn't matter how many times a person says, fire now, fire now. A man of God can come and pray and shout, fire, receive, fire, receive. And the first thing that the fire will come to do is to clear impurities first. Why? It will not take you as a sacrifice until it has cleansed. When the priest in the Old Testament sees an animal brought for sacrifice, they will not accept every animal for sacrifice. There is what you call inspection. The priest is in the place to inspect the animal that is being brought. If the animal that is brought has spots, speckles, anything that it should not be, they will reject it. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? The Old Testament is a shadow of the new. It's a shadow of the new. You must understand that it's a type. It's showing us that if the Old Testament priest will always scan through the animal, God now looks at you. I have accepted you as my son and my daughter, but for use, it has to be a vessel unto honor. For use. There's a difference between use and something that exists in the house. There are many vessels, some unto honor, others unto dishonor. So the blood of Jesus will cleanse you and purge you and sanctify you. But there is a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and there is a purifying work of the Word of God. And the Word of God is fire. Many people don't yield to the Word of God. Everything they see in Scripture, when the Bible says A, they want to go B. When the Bible says B, they want to do C. No, you are not yielded. You are not yielded. The Word of God is supposed to mold you. The Word of God is supposed to determine the direction of your life. The Word of God is supposed to determine how you behave. So if the Word of God says something and you are acting that way, correct. But when the Word of God says A and you are doing otherwise, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Child of God, something is what? It's wrong. The earlier we realize it, the better. Am I communicating tonight? Anybody get what I'm saying tonight? People who cannot report. You see how believers are. Very, very sentimental, emotional, so-called diplomatic believers. A brother, a sister around is doing something bad. And I don't want to report so that it doesn't look like I talk too much. Catch you. You don't know fire. You don't know. The Bible says, and unto some, hating their garments, spotted with the flesh, snatching them from the fire. So you were comfortable enough, and somebody misbehaved until they lost their inheritance. You are a very wicked Christian. Very wicked. Your wickedness is so high. You watched people. You were seeing them misbehave. You didn't count it worthy. You didn't find that boldness. I got that. It's better they call me a useless and a foolish person. Mind your business and get out. And I will remember that I told them that this path doesn't look true to where we are going. And it's the reason why many people are comfortable doing rubbish is because everybody has endorsed it. If by the time you're coming back to your compound and a fellow Christian says, where are you? It's 9 o'clock. What are you doing? What? You will behave. But by the time they say, Alpha, are you here to stay? And something like that. Okay, well done. It's wickedness of the heart. I want to show you an excellent way. Most of the things we read in the Bible today, I told you how they came about. The Bible says, they will say, those of the house of stubbornness, they reported. This is what they say, no, we cannot condone this. The Bible says, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, rather expose them. It's obvious. You can never, anything that comes in contact with fire will catch fire. If people are around me and they are misbehaving, I will expose evil. I will talk to them in love, greet them, tell them, this thing, brother, I love you so much to let you die like this. I love you so much to allow you to misbehave like this. I love you so much to watch you just mess up your life like this. And let the person look at you and say, foolish person, get out. Then you will bear the reproach for Christ's sake and say, at least I did what I should have done. But look at the believers today. They are the ones who condone it. They are the ones who accept it. They are the ones saying, don't be my business, I beg. Wait now, I beg, I don't have time. So who was it written for? When the Bible says, and unto some, you know, put it on the screen for me, James. You know, is it James or Jude? One of them. Jude. Is it Jude? And on some, have compassion, making a distinction. Can you see that? Have compassion, making what? A distinction. He said, but on others, save with what? Fear. Save with what? Fear. Wow. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Hating the garments defiled by the flesh. when I got born again, I usually would tell us that if I see man and woman together, you're in trouble. It's not today that I don't know what is happening, but something is wrong somewhere. If I see a guy and a girl in the evening, I'll be asking, where are people going? I will feel like I must let the guy go. Let's tell the girl goodbye together. Bros, where will they go together? Let her go. Because I'm not even sure. I don't know where you are going by this time. It was that serious that the people I was, mentoring then, it was a serious matter. And to the glory of God, many of them live today to say, thank you. You helped us. It was because some people condone rubbish. That's why their territory became a den of thieves and robbers. But if you put your boundaries, everybody will know what it's supposed to be. As I supposed to be? Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? It was that serious for me because I didn't see the need to look at people and just allow them walk around. I learned this scripture very early enough. Very early, for a long time. There are others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by what? Flesh. Garment divided by flesh. Hate it. Glory to God. Number three, fire baptism. The sign that you have fire baptism is that it makes your Christianity contagious. It makes your Christianity what? Contagious. You remember the story of the jailer when Paul, the prison, everything got broke, Paul and Silas, and everybody began to escape and they were running. And the man said, He said, here we are. We are not running. We are here with you. And when the man saw the encounter, he fell in love with their faith. He said, He really wanted to kill himself initially. But when he saw that the guys were not running, they're not like, we are running. No. Come. What? The next question that came out of his mouth, what must I do to be saved? How come people live with us so long and not a single day your friend, your colleague in the office sits down there, and every day and night the person is the same? Not a single time would the person ask that, this Christianity thing, are you not doing any program in your church? Take me along. You've never told me about God. Are you waiting until the person gets to, all those stories they tell us that when the person gets to hellfire, they will now cry? What do you see? Those stories, they are not very real. The reason is because when the person is in hellfire and you are wherever they are, no matter how they curse you, it makes no difference. The best thing you can do for that person is now. But I know that many of us don't know what the hell, fire of hell is like. Oh, that's why you are very comfortable allowing people. If you see your worst enemy in life in hell, you'll be crying. Go and ask Lazarus. Read Lazarus and the rich man's story with care. Don't read this in a rush. Go back and read it and see how that the rich man was negotiating. He said, let Lazarus go and tell my brothers. In other words, I don't even want... How will I stand and see my brothers come to this same place? Let him find a way. Let them go and tell. He said, no. If they don't listen to Pastor Mavis, they will not listen to anybody. He said, there are prophets there, there are teachers there. If they don't listen, they will not listen. The fire said, okay, you know what? I don't need a cup of water. I don't even need half glass. How many of us in your lifetime, a drop of water has ever satisfied you? Actually, a drop of water will make you more thirsty. Because the way water works is that it starts from little, then you must get to marginal utility. Are we here together? Then you begin to lose satisfaction. So this guy said, just give me one drop, it's okay. One drop will satisfy my life. It's a lie. It shows you the intensity of the heat and the flames of fire. The heat. And the guy was already confessing and said, see, okay, you know what? Since I don't have hope again, my brothers. And he said, we will not live here. Anybody that is here, there's a gulf. Serious gulf between us. So as it is right now, your brothers have their decisions to make. If you know how that is, you'll be willing to reach out to people and get them saved. If you know your mom will go to hell, you would rather let your mom disown you than not preach Christ to her. Even if your father is the highest alpha in the world, is the highest traditional worshiper, you will believe, you will say, what I died for is to just tell him Jesus is Lord, and he kills you, it's okay. To know that you heard it. Now for me to be alive and watch the person who gave birth to me born in hell. No, many believers don't know the intensity of hell. They are very comfortable. If you know what hell is about, you don't want your enemy to get there. It's not a place to be. Go and read this Bible. It talks about sulfur. And I usually tell you, some of you have used sulfur 8 hair cream. Just use it and enter the sun and see how your head will first behave. it has been processed to the point where it is a useful stuff. Yet, here it is. Then just imagine sulfur, real sulfur, burning with brimstone. You know what brimstone is? When they are making the road, when the government make the road and using quota, how many of you have ever seen them making that rough quota and you put your leg and you just say, ah, to worship you, I live. That's quota. That's just quota. That's quota. And you stand on it for 2 minutes, you're already jumping and running away. These ones will be there. And it's not as if their body will now get used. It's just like in heaven, your body will not get used to the joy and the satisfaction of heaven. Every day is a fresh pleasure. A new, see, you need to know God. God is that there's no start. You cannot come to the point and say, I don't see God finish. Even the angels in tomorrow, they are not done. And they will not be done throughout eternity. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here right now? Even the angels, they are not done. They keep seeing fresh dimensions of us. That's why he said, I am God. God does not, how do I say it now? God does not have long life. I wish I had better ways to explain these things. You understand what I'm saying now? Life is not like that, it's life. So all the life there is to be and will ever be inside of him. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you see Christians today, when we see ourselves, we're not paying attention to how we're supposed to pursue our own faith. Talk more of helping our brothers. And that's why we have many people. There are many people who died in their misbehavior, but you were there. You didn't tell them anything. You didn't tell them anything. You were saying, I don't know what to say. If I say it now, pastor will now hear. They will now say they suspend. It's better we suspend the person here. And it's better to get your suspension now. And enjoy the inheritance than for you to you're not suspended, you still not have inheritance, double jeopardy. In fact, high level of deception, deceive yourself. May God help us. The fire of the Holy Spirit sparks revival in your heart and in the church, ignite passion in other people and draws many people to Christ. People begin to admire your Christianity and your Christian life. They watch the way you go out and come to the office. And somebody comes one day, even your boss can come and say, I really love you. I really don't know why. He says, thank you, sir. And what church do you attend? You tell them, say, hey. There's something about you. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And that's an opportunity for you to plan the next day and say, sir, just from what you said yesterday, I just wanted to chip something in. So what's that? So I don't know if you are born again, you have accepted Christ, you have personal relationship with Jesus. And he says, sir, I really want you to know that Jesus is the only way. He's the one that has made my life like this, and I'm really enjoying my walk with him. I'm enjoying my walk. Maybe that's what will make that guy go back home and start thinking. Maybe he's been telling every lady that applies to the office that they must first surrender before they will get the offer, or whatever. Now he will look at that and he will deny himself, take up his own cross and follow. Some of us do not realize that some of us have in our hands what it takes to give this kingdom another general inside of you. If you don't imagine a general, let a general come out of you. Whichever way, it's important. If you will not follow God passionately, try and win somebody, let them follow him passionately. Maybe that will be credited to your account somehow. And if you are following him passionately already, why not allow many others to do the same? And let us be many. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Are you sure it's making sense this night? Yes. People come around you and their life change. They begin to desire God. Then God begins to recommend you. Do you know God recommend people? Yes. Acts of the Apostles chapter 9 from verse 10 to 19. God recommended Ananias to Paul. God recommended Ananias. Ananias wasn't a pastor, he wasn't an apostle, he wasn't a bishop, he wasn't an evangelist. Ananias was just what? A brother. And God counted him faithful. He was in the church that's so large, everybody, people accepting Christ then. Then God looked at one young man and he said, Ananias. Now, he said there was a certain disciple, not pastor, at Damascus, named what? Ananias. And And to him, the Lord said in a vision, Aeneas, and he said, here am I, Lord. Go ahead now. He says, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Aeneas coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. In other words, God used a brother to raise a general. God counted Ananias worthy because of his Christian work. Ananias was so much aflame and ablaze that God knew that the first hand that will touch the head of Paul will be Ananias' hand. I can imagine how Ananias will feel when he sits back and he sees Paul going everywhere and he sees the letters written around the world, and he will look and say, Kai, God, you counted me worthy that this my hand touched this guy's head. Kai. Just imagine entering heaven and the person you see is the one that filled multiple stadiums, and you were the one that taught the person John 3:16, and you were still strong and vibrant and getting your reward, and the person is being rewarded. Our calling can be different. The person can be called to that position of some dangerous work, and you are called to the position of nurturing consistently at the background, but yet you are not losing your reward because you are right at your duty post. You know how it will feel for some people who won the souls of some people. What a soul. It's that kind of soul is worthy to be won. God recommended Ananias and said, Ananias, there's a man you are going to meet. That guy is going to do dangerous things for me. But I have counted your hand. You know the Bible had the principle, the principle of laying on of hands. It's powerful in the Bible, New Testament. Yes, laying on of hands. When you want to consecrate people for service, you lay hands on them. Then God looked amongst all. God did not say, Peter, go and lay hand. God did not say, James, go and lay hand. God did not say, all those big apostles, wait and lay hand. He counted a disciple worthy, a man of fire, underground fire. And he said, go, you are the one that will lay hand on Paul. And he laid hand on Paul, and all of a sudden his eye opened. And guess what? He had the privilege to baptize Paul. Kai. He had the honor to baptize Paul. What an honor took Paul after that encounter. He said, Bro, Paul, my assignment with you is over. And he left. And I imagine how maybe at different times he probably would have exchanged letters or something, and he would have said, Kai, each time I look at you, Paul, I envy the grace on your life. And Paul would say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Sir, I count it a privilege that you laid hands on me. You can imagine the kind of thing we're talking about. Another time, God was going to recommend somebody, and he recommended Peter to Cornelius. And he looked around and he said, Peter, I need you to encounter this guy. This guy is a centurion. That means he's a high-ranking official in the secular world. And there are some people in the secular that we are the ones to win. Unfortunately, you are the one singing their song. You are the one dancing their dance. You are the one madding their mad. Somebody you will win. A soul you should put your knee down and intercede for has now brought you into a party. God forbid. Bad thing. Many of us do not know the glory you carry. If you understand what you carry, if you understand the investment in your life, you will know that God is preparing you as a solid vessel he wants to use. How come the vessel that is supposed to be used is now under, and the one that is outside is the one that you are admiring? And some people will say, they are my role model. Role model, walk, role model, catch fire. Am I preaching Christ to somebody here? You don't know what, if you know what role model is, you will look, anything that does not look like Christ will not make sense to you. And if at all I follow somebody for because of career or whatever, and they are secular, to the extent that they stop following Jesus, teach the business lines. That's where I am. Thank you. If any other thing, I move. I learn what I should learn and I move on. I will even show you Christ. And that's what some of us must know. That the reason God will bring you to meet some people is to see whether your light can shine enough for them to see. Sometimes you are privileged to meet some people, not because you meet some person, oh my God, I'm privileged to meet some person. The person's not born again, oh, I feel good. And God is saying, what's wrong with you? Let your light so shine. And they might see your good works and glorify your Father. Then with all humility, as you are serving in that small space, whether it's a makeup, whatever, or a fashion, something, you are serving with all your heart. Then one day your boss, God will create a problem that only you can solve. And your boss will sit down in tears one day. And you'll be privileged to come in. And God would have worked it that all the staff would have left that place. You alone, face to face with that destiny. What would you do? Whether you will see the boss and say, ah. Or God, the boldness of the Lion of Judah will come upon you. And you will take a seat and say, it's fine, man. All will be well. All will be well. The Prince of Peace can settle all this. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? You don't know why God will be taking you to certain quarters. You don't know why God will make you live with certain people in the compound. You don't know why God will let you have certain people as neighbors, colleagues, and friends. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. Let your fire burn so much that people will be attracted to it. And they will say, we are interested in this thing. We're interested. We're interested. Until my only gaze is you, Spirit keep brooding over me till I look just like you. Until my only gaze is you,
Spirit keep brooding over me till I look just like you.
Let me take 5 minutes and finish this. Listen now. While others make people discouraged about coming to the faith, men of fire make Christian lifestyle so interesting. Do you know many people that followed when I was in, when people got born again? Because the Christianity was fun. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Not the... There's a weighty... This Christian faith, if you know how weighty, the glory, doxa, how strong, you will not do it anyhow. There's a courage that a believer will have in humility and honor, yet in God. And people will say, I desire this thing. I desire, I want to be like this. This is what I want. This is exactly what I've been saying I want. That's how it's supposed to be. Somebody was sharing the other day, I will not mention name, very popular, one of the most popular ministers in Nigeria. I will not mention. And he said, you can't believe. He had a job to do for that ministry, a very serious job, this year. And some of the pastors from the ministry were negotiating with him to pad the budget. Put extra money. Pastors. They were telling him, see what this thing is. See what you will add. We will submit it. When it is sent, we will send our own. Pastors. Big ministry, not small. Renowned. The man said he was ashamed, embarrassed. At the same time, he was. Why? Because he had had a discussion with his own pastor that is in a corner that's not doing so big yet. And that one told him, I said, if you face this kind of things, you better stand your ground. And God gave him favor. And he connected with the man himself. And went to tell him that, sir, see you. Chameleons, snakes are around you. And you know, some of the people already know that the snakes are around. They are just waiting for a while for the fire to expose the snakes. Pastors. So painful. I had to do like this again. He said, he mentioned the job and showed me. I did this. I still completed the job and everything. But I decided I will never do that. And they started speaking bad about him to the man, not knowing that God will give him favor. So from behind, the man said, why are they? He said, this is the reason. I just have to tell you, sir. But sir, I don't really want to mention him. You know these kind of things? Sir, just understand me. I don't know whether I will eventually mention him later. But somehow, some people are set on the way of Gehazi. And they will go with a generation of leprosy. Because they have treasured something more than God. Finally, the fire baptism ignites an unusual passion and zeal for God and His kingdom. The fire baptism ignites an unusual passion and zeal for God and His kingdom. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, never be lacking. Please let the communion be set. Let's start getting ready, please. Well, God's going to get into prayers and we'll take the communion today. The fire baptism ignites unusual passion and zeal for God and His kingdom. It says, never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor serving the Lord. Romans chapter 12 verse 11. 12, 11. 12, 11. Never be lacking in zeal. You can check NIV and other ones. Never lacking in diligence. Fervent in what? Spirit. Serving the Lord. Men of fire. How you know that the person has fire baptism? How you get to know? Is their zeal and their passion for God. Their zeal. You will know. You cannot hide it. I told you when I started this teaching the first day. I said you cannot carry fire and sit down comfortably. Men of fire are on the go. Go into all the world and preach, because men of fire are like that. Pastor Marvin, a newspaper magazine came many years back and they came to interview me and said, why? What is on the street? You see how I do crusade on the street? As a man, I carry a speaker and I'm waiting for some people to rise in this church and say, sir, where is the megaphone? Where is that? We will beg. We'll be begging. 19 years old, I was mounting on streets with crusade. I will be going, I will drag them to church and I'll say, come and sit down. Well, I will carry this amplifier. 19 years old. And I just look at it and I say, what exactly is happening here? People are filled the church. Sometimes you don't know. I'll carry, I'll organize the youth in the church. This one, sisters, young girls with their weave on. Powerful, nice weave on. Huh? This thing I'm telling you is just about, let's say, 16 years ago or 15, thereabout. With their weave on, they'll carry this tiger past my neighbor generator. Ahuja amplifier. With horn speaker, I will carry microphone. I will wear my crazy jean. I wanted to be radical. I didn't want to wear kaftan like this overborn again. I will wear my crazy jean. I will carry my blazer and I will be preaching on the road. I will be preaching. I will be preaching. You see, you cannot serve God and serve him anyhow. You have to make up your mind. Enter morning cry. This one they call morning cry. No morning cry. Morning cry. Early in the morning, everybody can hear. Everybody can. It's because of the rules and regulations today that we're just trying to balance, let's so that we don't constitute nuisance, but we can still use our voice. I don't want to use megaphone to disturb anybody. I can use my voice. 3, 4, 5 compounds we hear. I preach in the bus. I'll start preaching in the bus. Where you carry fire, you will know that you have fire. You can't carry fire and be normal. Carry fire and sit down and say, where is evangelism? No, that is. I don't know what to call it. Casual, dry, lukewarm, stone cold Christianity. It has no place with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Young guys and young girls, they will carry their distance. We will go sometimes twice a week, especially weekends, Thursday, Friday, sometimes Friday, Saturday, and we mount it. Sometimes three, you know those junction where they put sacrifice? I like three row junction. Kai, I like to show Satan problem. That's where I'll go and stay. I will just get there. You know where you are? Where power is intoxicating. Just to make the young people around me feel bad, I'll just kick it. Everybody will be like, you know, all the people that pass by, they'll be like this. They'll be like this. And as I'm preaching, I'll be saying it, though. I'll say, all your cultic people in this community, come out and defend your cultism. Come out and defend your devil. Small boy, small boy, small boy, small boy. Come out and defend all your devils. The gods of your fathers are dead. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I preach hard Christianity to that time in my ignorance, many things. I shall preach Jesus. I shall know that it was Jesus I was preaching. I will leave that junction. Sometimes I'll go to another one like that. I told you one day I went to a place. The man came out of his house and says, young boy, get out of this place now. If you don't get out of here, I will get you arrested. I went to report in the police station and say, is there any law in Nigeria? They said, no. I went back to the man's house the next day. Stayed in front of that place and I preached. But this time around, I went with one tall brother in church. Boy, so that they will not carry me like Paul. You know, you have to be wise. I put the brother by side. I said, let's go. I told him. And the brother was very excited. He was very excited to follow me. He followed me and I preached there again. I left. If you don't like this Jesus, you know what you like. I started like that. The fire has not stopped burning. From secondary school, GSS 3. It burnt into the university and it's burning into the world. Let your light shine. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? So we cannot relent. We cannot stop. We cannot get tired. And God is leading our hearts so much next year into crusades again. Again, I'm going on the street. When we started this work, many people, you know, Pastor Ben met us in crusade. Ibaya State crusade. Ibaya crusade. Yeah, I'm on the road. Some of you have followed before when we go on real road rally and we carry megaphone under the rain. Mad people for Jesus. Do you know how many people came to church after those meetings to come and say, where are those people? They'll come and look for us. How come you carry fire and your fire is not showing? What kind of fire is that? I'm surprised. A church of plenty youths, and on Saturday they'll say there's no evangelism. Even if church does not call, you call your own and get a group of five. What are you praying together? Is it gossip association you'll be doing? You say, we have a mentorship group. Mentorship group. Mentor Boko. Nonsense mentorship. The mentorship that you are mentoring people that cannot carry them to the street and preach Christ. That mentorship has catch fire. It's finished. You that you did mentor, you don't know what mentor. If you see, you need practical mentorship, not story. You see, when the fire of God burning your heart, it's a restorative spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me. Get on the streets. When you carry microphone, you feel the fullness of fire. You carry microphone, you feel the presence of God. One day, my elder sister looked at me and she said, is this what you've been doing in your life? I said, yes. And I prayed. I said, God, may this same thing enter her head one day. Then the other day, I saw my sister, you know, in Lekki, Bejuleki, with megaphone preaching. I said, correct. I said, this is what I'm looking at. Yesterday, she messaged me, said, I've not slept since 12 o'clock at about 4 o'clock. I said, correct. This is what we're talking about. Anybody that tried to make mess of my fire then, my prayer was simple for them. I said, God, this same fire I put on my head, may it trouble their life. May they come in contact with their fire like this. When you know what, you will know that it's not something you carry and just want to go. No! You cannot carry Christian fire and be normal. The first sign that a person is baptized with fire is the passion for souls. You don't want to see people go to hell. You don't want to see them leave any house. You don't want to see them live a purposeless life. I started teaching purpose from place to place, secondary school to secondary school, from junction to junction, everywhere that I will lay my hands on, I will go there. I will preach. Ikeja, I got letters from government, 12 schools in the whole of that vicinity. Enter anyone and preach. That's how passionate I was. Some will say, let's calculate the transport and the budget. I didn't. Jesus Christ told them, he said, don't take any script. You don't take anything. Start moving. And all of them moved out. And when they moved out, he asked them when they came back. He said, when you went, did you lack anything? They said, no. He said, that is it. That is it. The reason many people have never taken bold steps in their life is fear. 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 You must have that passion for souls. Number two is the desire for the secret place. You want to pray more. You want to spend time with God. You just, the burden. Sometimes you are there, but you just feel like somebody woke you up and said, pray now. I have had multiple seasons in my life where I know that I don't want to pray, but the hand is waking me up to say, pray. Sometimes we announce a season and say, a season is opening over you. Start now. And I don't know when the fasting will end. I don't know when it will finish. I'll just be there. And I will pray like that. I'll pray like that sometimes half of the year, sometimes almost all of the year. All of the year, just staying there and praying. And staying there and praying. Just having that encounter with God. Having that encounter, that rapport with God. Something so real. It cannot be hidden. It cannot be hidden. I've told you before, when I was in my clearance in campus, they told me to go back to my faculty, that everything I need to clear, somebody will bring it for me. So you shouldn't be walking up and down. Clearance you did for 5 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, four days. And one day, they just told me, are you not the pastor? I say, I'm pastor. I say, yes. Go back. Somebody is going to bring it. Just drop all your papers and go. I dropped my paper and left. They called me that, go to the faculty office. Your clearance, everything is done. And I went to pick my paper. That's how I left. That's why every time I enter the campus, I don't enter with fear or intimidation. Most of the people there will know. Fire is clear. It cannot be hidden. I don't know how somebody kept their own fire. Where would you impact? What world will you impact with fire if you leave this one that we are in? It's appointed unto man wants to die after death. If you leave this one, which one will you do? And the funny thing is that, yes, with long life, it will satisfy us. But don't forget, Jesus Christ lived 3.5 years. Don't forget that Apostle Paul lived 50-something years. Don't forget that you don't have all the time. David said, teach me to number my days so that I will apply my heart unto wisdom. So I'm going to say, when I marry, I will start. Look at you. When you marry, you never have time. Go and ask those who are married. Some of us have time today because they met us like that. If my wife didn't meet me the way I was, it was where I went to give letter for program that I even met her. I went to give letter for program and invite a guest to come and speak for us in our program. That's where I met her. So you get to see that I met her there. From that day, after she saw me, the program, she started coming for the program. You can't see fire and leave fire. She started coming for the program. She joined. I dropped letter and I left. Then she started coming for the program. She came for that program until I started preaching for them in their church and married their member. carry correct fire. Are we here together, church? Soul winning, the passion for prayer. Soul winning, the passion for prayer. Number three, a word-based life. You will now be aligning with the word of God. You will have desire to do what the Bible says. You will know fire has come when you just say, is this what the Bible says? That's what we should do. It's hard. I don't know. That's what we should do. This is what the word of God has said. This is what we will do. This is what the word of God has said. This is what we will do. To the extent that when I was in relationship with my wife, we'll sit down 6 months fasting hug. So you go to school and come back. When I come back from school, my fiancé will shake ourselves like this. We are fasting hug 6 months and he fell into holiday. The fasting continues. All this one they do every morning, hug you. Before Satan has hug you. Behave. I don't know what see people they find. Today's left. Sometimes you'll be tired of hugging. Go ask my wife. They don't hug. For 1 month, many of them have not hugged any hug. There's no when you're hugging expenses, you want to hug expenses. There are many things to do. You want to I'm studying the Bible, I'm thinking of something big. That's it. It's only maybe when you just there are many things to do in life. Use this time now to serve God, because you see, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, many young people, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you miss. Solomon said, vanity upon vanity, youth life is vanity. Me, youth life, vanity, not lie. Even Solomon knows that when we see face to face, my youth life is not vanity. No vanity, cannot be vanity. It's the one that Satan has eaten. Say, when I'm 50, I will serve God. You want to give God ajeku? Remaining. Give God the best. You know one thing God likes? God always likes to take the first, then he will sanctify the rest. Now listen, let me explain this. Those of us who are older, maybe you are 60, 70, or 50 something, you are listening to me now. If you did not give God the first, and you have given him this part, he will still love you and cherish you and do many things. But you see, there is a blessing for those who give the first. Why? Every time the first fruit is given, the whole lump will be sanctified. So you can stand your ground and say, God, I gave you the early days of my life when I should be pursuing many things, when I should have been lost everywhere, I gave it to you. Now, the later days of my life, I will soar upon wing as eagle. Let it happen. You will see that you don't have to struggle about it. You don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to. So check it. The final sign that will show. Number one, I said, is what? In your zeal, passion for souls. Number two, desire for prayer. Number three, alignment. You'll be having that nudging to align with the word of God. Then number four is the passion, the desire to sponsor the gospel. Sponsor. Give me Jesus, take the whole world. No. See, calm down. I don't know the whole world and Jesus you're talking about. When you accept Christ into your heart, you'll be able to give anything. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult. Child of God, I gave, at the point I was giving, I'd already given my career first. So I'd given myself already that I was going to serve God. So that's number one. So we're not dragging that one. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I will transport every day by myself, use my money to go and win souls. Then I will rent hall with my money. I didn't have group. I didn't have anybody. I will rent hall with my money. I will invite people. We'll still give transport fare to people who came for the program from the offering. Because some of the people who came for the program, young people, they give their offering. They don't have transport fare. We'll give them the offering as transport fare. Sometimes we'll finish program with our money. Money that I went to work for. I used to do program. Then on Monday, I'll drink Gary and I'll be fine. Many times, myself and my younger brother, you know, when we finish program, because they will support. There are about 7 people then that will support. This one will say, I drop. This one, I drop. You know, just like that. Just we use everything we had to do the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were not thinking of many things. And that's why the first time I was planning and saving money to buy a car, I got it as a gift. I was saving. I said, I have to start driving a car. When you go on the road, all the students are preaching. They'll be calling my name. Brother Pastor. Pastor Brother. Uncle Pastor. It was embarrassing. So I started praying and said, God, I need car bag. I can't just keep walking around this road like this. Then I preached like this. 2012. I finished preaching. And I was blessed with the car. And that was it. And everything just moved from there. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all other things shall be added to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? And sincerely, truth be told, if there is anything I'm praying for finance for, is God for the furtherance of the kingdom, for the work. I'm sincere. If there's anything I'm asking finances for, is for the work of the ministry, that the work will advance. If God cannot touch your pockets, I'm not sure he has touched your life. Because if he touched your life, everything in you. Fire, fire. When fire comes upon you, it will burn everything, including the money in your pocket. If the fire that is on you left your money, it's not real. I want you to pray today and say, Lord, I desire this fire, real fire, tangible fire. I want to have encounter with you. I want to have genuine encounter with you. I want my life to count. People will look at the kind of people we raise in this church from time to come, and they will say, yes, 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 these ones are different. Something has to happen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.